for WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Dominion says it will appeal a federal court ruling against the Atlantic Coast Pipeline to the U.S. Supreme Court. Someday soon, state law may allow out-of-state doctors to use an app to write your prescription. And JMU students find out what athletes with physical disabilities can teach them about human movement. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, February 27. Dominion Energy says it will appeal a lower court ruling against the Atlantic Coast Pipeline to the U.S. Supreme Court on Monday. A federal appeals court declined to reconsider throwing out a permit allowing the pipeline to cross two national forests, including parts of the Appalachian Trail. In a statement on Tuesday, lead pipeline developer Dominion said it expects the filing of an appeal in the next 90 days. A three-judge panel ruled in December that the Forest Service lacks the authority to authorize the Appalachian Trail crossing and that the Forest Service had, quote, abdicated its responsibility to preserve national forest resources. Virginia regulators say that Walmart may only buy electricity from the state's two largest electric monopolies. On Monday, the State Corporation Commission denied Walmart's request to stop buying electricity from Dominion Energy and Appalachian Power. Virginia is one of a handful of states with electric monopolies where customers can also shop around under certain circumstances. But the commission says that Walmart's departure from that market would unfairly raise rates on residential and small business customers. Several other large companies want to shop around as well, setting up a potential battle next year in the General Assembly over electric rates. Evidence and testimony related to drugs will be excluded from the trial of a trash truck driver charged in a deadly 2018 train crash. The Daily Progress reports that the judge in the trial against Dana Naylor Jr. granted a defense motion on Tuesday to exclude expert evidence and testimony about what prosecutors say was THC in Naylor's system at the time of the crash. Naylor is charged with involuntary manslaughter and maiming under the influence. Authorities say he drove a trash truck onto the tracks in Crozet, colliding with a chartered Amtrak train carrying Republican members of Congress. That crash killed Christopher Foley and gravely injured Dennis Eddy. Witness testimony will continue during the day on Wednesday, and a jury verdict is expected Wednesday evening. Well, for now, doctors in Virginia will be writing prescriptions for patients in Virginia. But as Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports, that could change next year.
Republican Delegate Terry Kilgore wanted Virginia to be on the vanguard of telemedicine, allowing a host of new smartphone apps to be able to allow Virginia patients to log on and get a prescription from doctors in Connecticut or California. Lawmakers rejected that idea, but Kilgore is undeterred.
In a legislative session, sometimes you get what you can get and move on and come back and fight the battle again next year, and that's what we're going to do.
And the next year, state officials will be conducting a study to see if there are any potential problems with out-of-state doctors writing prescriptions for Virginia patients. Lauren Toomey at Americans for Prosperity says that study could make Virginia a leader in telemedicine.
There's actually no data about the reciprocity component and how it affects health outcomes throughout the country. So moving to a study is actually pretty exciting because Virginia will now have the data and be able to set the precedent for telemedicine and reciprocity throughout the country.
Lawmakers did approve a bill that allows Virginia doctors to write prescriptions for Virginia patients without seeing them in person. Kilgore says lawmakers can always come back and expand that to out-of-state doctors next year if the study shows there are no negative health consequences. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, last week, kinesiology students at JMU attended workshops led by U.S. Paralympians and local wheelchair basketball players. The students' task, to learn how their studies in human movement intersect with the lives of those living with physical disabilities. WMRA's Randy Hagee, in her first report for WMRA, filed this story.
Two gyms at JMU's University Recreation Center, or UREC, were filled with college students dribbling basketballs last Thursday morning. But the unusual part is that the students, all of whom could walk, were dashing around in narrow wheelchairs with no armrests, their wheels canted out towards the floor. Altogether, 200 students in a 100-level kinesiology course, plus 10 from Bridgewater College, participated in the Paralympic Skill Lab, organized by kinesiology professor Kathy McKay.
So the main goal for today is for students to shift the paradigm through which they see ability or disability. So when students have contact with people who are different than themselves. And in this case, that's Paralympic athletes or our local adapted sport athletes. We find that they come to know and understand that individuals with physical disabilities are really just like you and I, and that helps to break down some of those barriers and helps to inform their perceptions on ability and on access and inclusion.
The day began with a screening of the documentary The Rebound, which follows a Miami wheelchair basketball team on their quest for the NWBA championship. The documentary was directed by Shayna Allen, a 2011 graduate of JMU, and produced and filmed by Mike Esposito, a 2010 graduate. The award-winning documentary is set to be released on Netflix on February 28th. Basketball players Jacob Tyree, Brandon Rush, and Tom Vandiver from the Charlottesville Cardinals, and Paralympic gold medalist Trayvon Jennifer led the basketball labs, teaching the students how to dart across the court, pass, block, and shoot from their chairs. Across the hall, Paralympic sitting volleyball player Nikki Navis and Paralympic goalball player Matt Simpson held workshops on their sports. If you've never heard of goalball, it's a sport specifically created for the visually impaired. Players aim to score points by shooting a ball filled with bells into their opponent's goal, a net which stretches across the entire back line of the court. Simpson, a law student at the University of Virginia, became legally blind at a young age.
And as a person with a disability, it can be debilitating not to have a disability, but to have people around you set incredibly low expectations for you as a human being. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that people who come learn about Paralympic sport, get to hear us talk, get to hear interact with us, I hope that they will continue to raise the expectations for themselves, but also for people with disabilities around them.
Off the court, Simpson's guide dog, Lacrosse, helps him navigate. But on the court, Simpson, like all goalball players, wears darkened goggles to eliminate any remaining sight. The athletes rely on sound to track the heavy ball. As students practiced this skill, they clapped to let their teammates know where to pass the ball. Simpson came to the realization in college that his obstacle to being an athlete wasn't his disability, it was his lack of conditioning and how hard he was willing to work. He went on to win a silver medal at the 2016 Paralympic Games. Nikki Navis echoed Simpson's sentiments of togetherness. She runs the nonprofit Limitless People, Inc., which teaches and promotes both sitting and standing volleyball in Florida and the Dominican Republic.
I hope they take away is that sports are sports and it's for everybody. And just kind of break that boundary and have it just be all inclusive. Like, it's for everybody, whether you are able-bodied or you're not able-bodied, whether you can or cannot. If you can try, then try, and just have it be all inclusive. Just because you have both arms, both legs, doesn't mean you can't play wheelchair basketball or you can't play sitting volleyball. So,
Ben Cotton, a JMU senior who participated in the wheelchair basketball portion of the lab, quickly applied the morning's experience to his engineering major.
In talking to some of the athletes at the end, they were talking about how it's hard to move laterally, and so, you know, if someone comes on the side and you have to shift, first you have to turn, and then you can come towards them to defend. And so I was thinking maybe thinking about different ways to make it easier for the wheelchairs to be designed so you can move laterally a little more quickly.
JMU's UREC Center owns 10 of the wheelchairs, which can be checked out, like a basketball, for student use. McKay also encouraged students to join one of their weekly wheelchair basketball pickup games or the intramural tournament this spring. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
And you can learn more about that story, see some photos of the athletes and the students at WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening and enjoy your Wednesday.